It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
Are we celebrating poor sportsmanship? Let's talk about that today. On Tuesday this week, the Grambling State University Lady Tigers basketball team beat the College of Biblical Studies by a score of 159-18 on Willis Reed Court at Grambling's Frederick C. Hobdy Assembly Center. Ouch. The national media quickly picked up on this story as Grambling's women, which improved to 6-5 on the year with a win, established a brand new NCAA record for the largest margin of victory in a women's college basketball game. This 141-point winning margin broke the previous record of 139 points set in 2018 as Savannah State of Georgia demolished Wesleyan College of Georgia. Unlike men's college basketball, the women now compete in four 10-minute quarters in college. The Grambling women jumped out to a 34-0 first quarter lead before the College of Biblical Studies, or we'll call them CBS, the Lady Ambassadors from Houston, finally tallied their first points of the game. As well as Grambling played in this game, the box score revealed that the College of Biblical Studies committed an incredible 57 turnovers in this game. That led to Grambling's women scoring an amazing 122 points in the paint during this rout. Grambling attempted 24 three-point shots in the game, hitting just 5 of them, but the Lady Tigers converted 70 of 119 attempts, or 59%, from inside the lane, closer to the basket, during the game against CBS. Now here's the way the team scored by quarter. At the end of the first quarter, the score was Grambling 46, CBS 4. During the second quarter, Grambling scored 36 points and CBS 6, leading to a halftime score of Grambling 82, CBS 10. In the third quarter, Grambling outscored the team 39-3, and in the fourth quarter, it was Grambling 38 points and CBS just 5, with the final score being Grambling 159 and the College of Biblical Studies 18. The Tigers coach, Courtney Simmons, said afterward, quote, "Although the goal set out was not to win by this margin, it was to play the best Grambling basketball that we could." Well, years from now, if you hear someone say that they witnessed this game in person, remember the official box score indicated there were only 65 patrons in attendance to witness this historic thrashing. But the big question is, why did Grambling continue to run up the score in the second half? Grambling's women basketball coach knew from the opening tip-off that their opponent, playing in their first year of college basketball, was seriously overmatched. None of the starting five of the Lady Tigers, though, played more than 20 minutes or half of this game. In fact, every player on the Grambling bench logged at least 10 minutes of playing time in the game. Now, today's women's game is also played with a 30-second shot clock. Ironically, the shot clock was implemented to prevent teams from playing a slowdown game, which had been boring fans and players alike. During halftime, remember they were ahead 82-10, Grambling's basketball coach could have insisted that her team start to take at least 20 seconds off the shot clock for every offensive possession, and they could have settled into a zone defense at the other end of the court on defense. And the coach could have instructed her players, maybe she did, that there will be no fast breaks in the second half. With 82 points scored in the first half, it appears that Grambling only slightly took its foot off the accelerator in the second half with another 77 points poured in. But whatever happened to sportsmanship here? Sportsmanship, though, means different things to different people. Some do not have a problem when their team pours it on from the start of the game until that contest ends. And during such a lopsided blowout game in any type of sport, the players on the losing side are quite aware of that situation as it unfolds, and they are very embarrassed by it. Altercations between players are likely to occur at later stages of any game when the team with the overwhelming lead doesn't appear to back off. Fortunately, most others, including me, believe that common sense should be used in these moments. Back in high school, a long time ago, I played for a very good basketball team. We finished third in the state during my senior year. Yay, Eagles! Now, one game, we played a team which was clearly overmatched. Though I started in this game, I was seated on the bench by the end of the first quarter. Our enthusiastic substitutes came off the bench and played the final three quarters. We still tallied nearly 90 points in a very easy win. But to his credit, our coach instructed our players to slow things down in the second half to avoid further embarrassment to our opponent. You know that saying, sometimes you're the bug? Well, here's the story of Squish. There are times when you find yourself on the other side of a blowout game, too. During college, I organized a group of my neighborhood friends to play in our city's recreational basketball league. I'd worked as a referee for the gentleman in charge of the city basketball leagues, too. So he apparently figured that my neighborhood team, and we called ourselves Swish, would be competitive in this league. So he decided to put our team from the neighborhood in league number 3 out of the 8 talent levels in his competition. That turned out to be a colossal mistake. Only 2 of us had ever played basketball in high school. And Swish went 0-16 for that season. We were clobbered on the scoreboard and frequently on the hardwood by every team in our league. And decades later, the group of us still joke that our team should have been called Squish. When you play for a sports team which goes through a season like that of being run off the court nearly every game, you develop a little bit more compassion for other teams once the tables are turned. You know, good sportsmanship is often seen at the highest levels of competition. Have you noticed that most professional sports teams tend to ease up on their competitor once the contest is clearly in hand? And even after a horrific loss by one team, the professional athletes will usually meet on the field of play to shake hands afterwards and exchange a few pleasantries. That's because professional athletes have generally played on a successful high school and college team prior to moving to the pinnacle of their selected sport. They understand how to win and be humble in victory. Though an individual player might have a fabulous personal resume, success as part of a team is not always assured. Team outcomes can be affected by unwise draft choices in the pros, untimely injuries, poor coaching strategies, and occasionally just plain buzzard's luck. But bad times don't always last forever, we hope. You might remember that the first player selected last spring in the 2023 NFL Draft was former Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. He was the offensive leader when his Crimson Tide team won the national championship in 2020. Bryce Young also took home the Heisman Trophy for being the best college football player in America in 2021. His Alabama teams steamrolled many opponents during his years in Tuscaloosa. After going 23-4 as the quarterback during 2 years at Alabama, Bryce Young was chosen number 1 overall in the 2023 NFL Draft by the Carolina Panthers. With 1 week to go, though, right now in his rookie season in the NFL, Bryce Young's team is currently 2-14. They remain by far the worst team in the NFL again this year. This classy young rookie, though, knows both sides of the sportsmanship equation. After being chased around and sacked numerous times on the field this fall, the media has also piled in after the games. Being the number 1 overall pick in the draft brings an expectation that your personal skills will transform a loser franchise into a winner overnight. But every single player on the Carolina Panthers NFL roster had been a top player in high school and in college. They've been part of big wins throughout their careers, but none have experienced a losing season like this one has been in Carolina. The Panthers fired their head coach, Frank Reich, halfway through his first year with the team. And then recently, the owner was fined $300,000 after he tossed a beer at a fan who had been taunting him during another Carolina Panthers loss a few weeks ago. One fan's bad sportsmanship was reciprocated by an embarrassing and quite costly response by one of the richest men in America. As my mom used to say, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yes!
Teach your children well. As that 1968 song by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young suggested, teaching kids at an early age to be a good sport is a very important quality in developing a mature personal outlook. Whether on the playing field, in the classroom, or on the job later, most of us will struggle at times. Showing support and respect to other people in victory is the sign of a true winner in life. Now, at some point, whether this season or in the future, the Grambling women's college basketball coach may be on the other side of a game just like they played against the overmatched College of Biblical Studies. An author named Benjamin Biani, who happened to play football and hockey in high school, once wrote, quote, "Karma bides its time. You always have to watch out. Karma is unforgiving and always gets its payback." Well, as for me, let's close with these words of wisdom, which I found today on the athletics website for the College of Biblical Studies in Houston, Texas. Yes, the same school on the losing side of the game with Grambling earlier this week. It says, "No area of life is without trials and defeat, sports included. We at CBS Houston believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is the solution to mending defeated souls. The College of Biblical Studies in Houston is seeking godly men and women who are committed to transforming their lives not only through biblical education, but through a bond that only sports can create. Hey, can I get an amen for that? I'm Swamp Swami.